We are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the Majjhalila chapter 9. It is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. And we're reading text 138 to 144. 144. I guess that is text 144. Yes. So text 144 is on the board, so I will chant verses 138 through 143 and read the English, and then we'll chant together text 144. Before this explanation was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkatabhata thought that Sri Narayana was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Lord Chaitanya is explaining the position of Narayan and the position of Krishna and the position of Lakshmi and the gopis, which we'll talk a little bit about later. Thinking in this way, Sri Radha Gokula Nandaki Jai. Thinking in this way, Venkatabhata believed that worship of Narayan was the supreme form of worship, superior to all other processes of devotional service, for it was followed by the Sri Vaishnava disciples of Sri Ramanuja Acharya. Text 140. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkatabhata's, and to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. Text 141. Any Bengalis here? How am I doing? Okay. I once had a chant of Bengali bhajan in Calcutta. In front of Bengalis, that was embarrassing. They said I did good, though. The Lord, well, she wouldn't say I'm doing bad anyway. She's too polite, right? The Lord continued, my dear Venkatabhata, please do not continue doubting Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Text 143. So this text is a verse from Bhagavatam. So most of you will know this verse. This is from the first canto, third chapter, text 28, translation. All these incarnations of Godhead, this is in the Bhagavatam after a list of incarnations are explained, and then Vyasadeva recites this verse, which is considered the main verse or the foundational verse of Bhagavatam. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. So today's verse. Is the goddess of fortune unchaste to Lord Narayan because she wants Krishna's company? Yes or no? No. Purport. Lord Narayana has 60 transcendental qualities. Over and above these, Krishna has 4 extraordinary transcendental qualities absent in Lord Narayana. These 4 qualities are 1. His wonderful pastimes, which are compared to an ocean. 2. His association in the circle of the supreme devotees in conjugal love, the gopis. His playing on the flute, whose vibration attracts the three worlds, and his extraordinary beauty, which surpasses the beauty of the three worlds. Lord Krishna's beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I will try to weave this in to the theme of this weekend, which is the holy name. In a previous verse, it said, Lord Chaitanya knew what Venkatabhata was thinking. He understood his... Oh, here. Sri Chaitanya had understood the misconception of Venkatabhata, and to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. When I read that verse, I was thinking, of course, Lord Chaitanya understood Venkatabhata's thinking because Lord Chaitanya came to give Krishna, not Narayan. He came to, and not only Krishna, but he, not only worship of Krishna, but of course, following the footsteps of the gopis, that was his desire. So certainly, he knew what was going on, and he wanted to explain to anyone and everyone that the worship of Krishna is superior. And this may sound, you know, it could sound to some people like with some kind of prejudice, like you're just, you know, my God's better than your God. My God's more beautiful than your God. My God can play a flute and your God can't. My God has gopis and yours just has Lakshmis. So it's not exactly like that. We understand Ramya Kachid, Brajabadu, Balgena, Chakalpita. This is a verse which Prabhupada quoted often to glorify the devotion of the gopis. So if I say my God is better than yours, really what I'm saying is the devotees of that God have more love. So that God, that form, extracts more love or gives the potential for more love. Therefore, wherever there's more love is better. It's higher. I mean, that's what this verse says. The gopis had the most love, so they're considered the highest based on that standard. Whoever has the most love is the best, right? Best devotees. So, if you've read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's an interesting story because there's a cowherd boy. His name is Gopakumar. And Gopakumar is going through the various planets to find out where he belongs. He was, you know, sometimes you take a job and you see if you like it, and you move to this neighborhood and you see if you like it. So it was something like that. Not exactly, but, you know, he was traveling through the universe. And he was actually a cowherd boy, but a cowherd boy in Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is where Lord Narayan exists. And Vaikuntha is a little bit like Britain. It's quite proper. And Gopakumar is kind of like Australia. You know what it's like when an Australian comes to England. You're kind of like, whoa. A little bit, right? Or an American, yeah. So Gopakumar was a cowherd boy. So cowherd boys have a friendly relationship with Krishna. But in Vaikuntha, in relation to Narayan, it's all formal, all in reverence. Or it was kind of like when Trump came to see the Queen, right? That was like, you know, well, he walked in front of the Queen, right? Something like that. You remember that? Yeah, you can't forget that, right? So Gopal's relating with Lord Narayan like a friend, and there is no friendship in Vaikuntha. Maybe reverential friendship at most. So he's relating like a friend, and everyone is, to put it bluntly, freaking out. You can't do that. So his love was higher than the residents of Vaikuntha, but they didn't understand that because it's guided by on reverence, right? So he realized that wasn't his place, and then eventually he went to Braj, and he met Krishna, and then everything worked because he was a cowherd boy, and Krishna saw him and embraced him. And then he didn't have all the cowherd boy clothes, so Krishna took off his turban and put on, you know, gave him his chador and, you know, fixed him up so he fit in as a cowherd boy because that's who he was. And then Krishna brought him home and fed him lunch, and, you know, that's what they do. But in Vaikuntha, no. So when Mahaprabhu is coming to this world, he's coming to give that love, and he's seeing that Venkatabhata and so many others, they don't have that. And it, you could imagine, it's a bit frustrating for him because he came to give something deeper. And he came to give the holy name, which will take you If you want to go, it will take you to Braj and it will take you to that relationship and at least guide you to follow the example of the gopis' love. That yesterday I was reading something, it was so interesting. And this will be fun for the ladies, especially the married ladies. So, or ladies to be married. So Radharani says, if I could find a gopi that could give Krishna more pleasure than me, then I would fall at the feet of that gopi and tell that gopi, and bring that, beg that gopi, you come and you engage with Krishna. Right? Ladies. If your husband said, you know, there's this woman I have a fancy for, you know, I'm sorry to say, you know, but it's just, I'm fallen, and would you think? Then, well, I'm going to go get her and bring her to you and you can enjoy with her and that will make me happy. I don't think so. Not in 2024. Maybe at some point and sometime somewhere in history of the ideal chaste lady. You know, I just want my husband to be happy even if it's bringing another woman. Of course, that's not proper. But that's what Radharani says to exemplify this Ashishava Pararatam principle, that if something can make Krishna happy, that makes me happy, even if it's not supposed to make me happy, because your husband enjoying with another woman, it's not going to make you happy, generally. Is it? I don't think so. No. She says no. Yeah. It's not proper, we don't recommend it, and it's an example, not to be copied, but it just shows this, the highest love of the gopis is that if Krishna, if I have to suffer, but it makes Krishna happy, that it makes me happy. So Prabhupada explains this principle. It's very interesting. He said, for a devotee on this level of devotional service, they cannot experience happiness unless it gives Krishna happiness. In other words, if it's something enjoyable, they cannot enjoy it independently of giving Krishna pleasure. It's and vice versa. If they're enjoying it, if there's something enjoyable, if there's something vice versa, something painful for them, and that pain gives Krishna pleasure, it becomes their pleasure. If it's something enjoyable for them, but that enjoyment gives Krishna pain, it's no longer enjoyable. Hare Krishna. Can you imagine that you're enjoying something and someone says, Krishna doesn't like that, and it gives you pain? That's the gopis. And of course we know the story of the headache. Krishna had a headache. And Narada says, aren't you afraid you go to hell? Doesn't matter. If we can suffer to get rid of Krishna's headache, even for one moment, if his headache goes away, we'll do it. So that's what Lord Chaitanya was giving. Now, this is amazing and inconceivable that through the chanting of the holy name, this can be experienced or realized. If the holy name is chanted purely, eventually, this level, the holy name will awaken this level of devotion. That's the first verse of Shishashtakam tells us that it will cleanse all the dust. If all the dust is cleansed, then our relationship with Krishna is awakened, and this holy name can awaken the highest love that is possible. And what's interesting about this is that, as you may know, Mahaprabhu comes every Kali Yuga. But in every Kali Yuga, that holy name doesn't awaken this highest love. It's only in this age. Isn't that interesting? It's like the same holy name, but this one's got special Shakti in it to awaken that prema. So, this Kali Yuga, the one we're in right now, this one, not the last one or the next one, or you have to wait another day of Brahma. And if you calculate that, who knows the calculation? Something like 8,630,000,000 years. How many lifetimes would that be? a lot, right? So, one of the most, I think, frustrating things, at least for me, and yesterday when Badahari was giving class, he was singing songs, and also last night, which glorify the holy name as the sweetest of sweetest things. Madaram, Madare, what is it? Madaram, Madaro, Madarekyopi, Madar, Mangale, yeah, Mangalam, auspicious, but sweet, the sweetest of sweet things. And then there was another verse, so beautiful. It said that the holy name is like a diamond, but we can take it like glass, like we don't see the diamond. It's like the sweetest of sweet things. But let me try to explain this a little bit. Well, it's kind of like something's sweet and you're sick and you can't taste it. It's kind of frustrating, isn't it? And everybody's saying, oh my God, these gulab jamans, I've never had any gulab jamans like this before. They must have come from Vaikuntha and you can't taste anything. And you're eating them and it's nothing. And you're kind of frustrated. Has that ever happened to you? When you've been sick and you can't taste something, yeah. So I was in a class and Prabhupada said, when we're impure, chanting the holy name is like eating with, he didn't say duct tape, but that was my vision. He said, with tape on your tongue. So imagine you put duct tape on your tongue. Everything would taste like duct tape, right? At least it would taste like the glue that stuck to your tongue, right? Because that's all you could taste. And then the sweet, the spicy, the salty, the pungent, you wouldn't taste it. So you ever have that experience? You're hearing about the glories of the holy name. It's sweeter than the sweetest thing. And you're chanting and you're like, huh? Sweet, you know, this is, you know, you'll get prema and the mood of the gopis. And I'm not feeling it. I'm not, you know, like, it's so frustrating. But it's there. And if we're frustrated, in a sense, that's good. That means we've got tape on our tongue and we need to take the tape off to be able to taste it. So last night we were discussing something that I think is very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in several songs, and last night also he said, taste the nectar of the holy name and make Bhaktivinoda Thakur happy. Like he'll become happy if you taste the nectar of the name. And I want to tell you a beautiful story. One man asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can you see God? And Prabhupada said, yes, can you see God? And the man said, no, I can't. And then Prabhupada went to his disciple and said, can you see God? She said, no, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I want to show you Krishna. Like that is the role of the guru. He wants to show you Krishna. He wants Krishna to manifest in your life. So I think it's good to think, not good, I think it's necessary to think in terms of what was Prabhupada's view? What was he trying to give us? What did he want us to have? What experience did he want us to have? So here we can see he wanted us to be able to see Krishna. And many times Prabhupada said, if you take to this process, you can see Krishna like you're seeing me. You can dance with Krishna. He wanted that. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, fill the soul or make Bhaktivinoda Thakur happy by tasting the name. That was Prabhupada's happiness. If we could taste the nectar of the holy name, that would make Prabhupada happy. And we have personal experience of that. Anyone who was ever in a kirtan with Prabhupada could see how happy Prabhupada was when the devotees were enthusiastically chanting the holy name. There was definitely a difference. You notice, Kripa Moya? When we would start dancing, and I mean, you can see the videos, Prabhupada would like, beam even more, because he had come to give us the holy name, and when we actually took it and relished it, that made him happy. So Mahaprabhu is coming to give love in the mood of the gopis, and a little bit frustrated with Venkatabhata because he's not going there and he's happy with Narayan. But my original point is, what was the problem there? Like, okay, you worship Narayan, it's not such a bad thing. Sri Sampradaya, it's not the end of the world if that's your inclination. But Mahaprabhu's coming to give nadanam najanam nusundarim. I don't want wealth, women, I don't want anything. And the worship of Narayan, it's not on that level of absolute purity. And so that's the frustration of Mahaprabhu, because he's coming to give bhakti in the mood of the gopis, and therefore you have that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that I don't appreciate love when it's overwhelmed or overcome or covered by awe and reverence. And that awe and reverence may tend to have some material motive, some aspiration, like for liberation, go to Vaikuntha, get a body like Lord Narayan, live on that planet, and so forth. So Mahaprabhu was like, no, that's not what we're giving in Kali Yuga. We're giving something higher. So the worship of Narayan tends to be a little bit tinged that way. And the worship of Krishna by the residents of Braj, it has no tinge of that at all. And that's what Mahaprabhu is coming to give, and that's what we're inheriting, and that's the mood we're supposed to accept. And the holy name is supposed to, or can potentially give us that mood if it's taken properly. Now, a very interesting letter. I find this so interesting. Maybe I told this story before. One devotee wrote Prabhupada a letter, and in the letter he gave his symptoms. And he gave a laundry list of symptoms of, you know, kind of like, I don't want to get out of bed symptoms. Don't want to get out of bed, don't want to serve, don't want to chant. Not inspired. Have no taste. I don't want to read. You know, one of those. You ever get those letters, Kripamaya, from your disciples? You know. The last time you saw them, they were so enthusiastic. They look like the sun. And then like a year later, you get one of these letters. Can hardly get out of bed. I'm barely struggling to chant my rounds. You know, just, I don't know what to do. You ever get those? Yeah. Kind of goes with the job description of guru. You get those letters, or counselor. So Prabhupada looked at the letter. You know, it was like going to a doctor. Doctor, I have these symptoms. I have a, you know, sneezing, coughing, headache, fever, ache here. Like, oh, you have this virus. So Prabhupada said, oh, yes, the disease. I can tell by the symptoms, the disease, namaparad. Such an interesting letter. This is the symptom of chanting where you're making offense. That you'll have, you won't want to get out of bed, you won't be inspired, etc., etc. That was Prabhupada's analysis. So you could say the opposite is true. If you avoid offense, then you'll be inspired, right? The taste will be there, and so on and so forth. So, one of the missions that I have in my life is to help devotees get a taste for the holy name. And this morning I was having a thought while I was chanting. And with this thought, I think, I've never done it, but when I have this thought, I kind of feel like I could just keep chanting all day and I won't get tired. And this is the thought. Would you like to know the thought? Yes. That maybe you could chant all day? I don't know. I have a few thoughts about chanting all day, but I haven't tested the 24-hour principle yet, but it helps me chant more. Maduram, maduram, maduram. just meditate, even if you don't realize, just meditate on how sweet this sound Krishna is. Now, we know Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, right? And we know that Krishna's name and Krishna are the same, right? So in theory, that name must be the sweetest sound that exists. And Hare also, maybe Hare is sweeter. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, these must be the sweetest sounds in existence, in theory. Anyone disagree? That Krishna is the most attractive form of God, therefore, and his name is none different, therefore his name must be the most beautiful name. And I will help you understand this. Imagine Radha and Krishna's names were not Hare Krishna, but they were Oscar McGillicuddy. And you every morning had to chant, Oscar McGillicuddy, Oscar McGillicuddy, 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 Oscar, Oscar. Like, how would that work for you? Would that be a problem? Does that help you appreciate it all? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jisirara Gokula Ananda Kija. So we know this verse by Rupa Goswami, how much nectar is in the name of Krishna. So much nectar, I would like thousands of tongues. I think it's important to meditate on this because this morning at the deep, dark hour of japa, which is about 6:20, when things get really deep and dark and sleepy, I was looking around the temple room and it didn't look like everyone was relishing the holy name like they needed 1,000 tongues. It looked more like they needed 1,000 pillows to take rest. And I was looking around and I was thinking, this is not good because this name Krishna is so beautiful. This name Hare Radha is so beautiful and so attractive that we should be swooning at the sound of it. And we're not. And if we're not sleeping by 6:20, we're spacing out. I travel to a lot of temples, so it's a trend. It's been there since the day I joined. After about an hour of japa, things start to go downhill. Have you noticed that? For some people, it starts as soon as they chant, it starts going downhill. But for most people, it takes a while. Yeah. So it concerns me a lot because this name can give prema in one life. And Prabhupada said, one life you can go back to Godhead, but it's not going to work if we're committing offenses. And one of the signs that we're committing offenses is that when we say Hare Krishna, we don't think, this is the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in my life. This is Krishna. What is more beautiful than Krishna? And Krishna, what could be more beautiful than the name of the most beautiful? Right? Yes? And if we're not experiencing that, it's a great misfortune because Prabhupada said, I want to show you Krishna. At least he's showing us Krishna now in his name. I'm showing you it's like this. And this is how you chant it. If you avoid the offenses, if you're present, if you hear it, if you put your heart into it, you'll get some nectar. We all know that. We all have that experience. Yes? Some of you are coming to the retreat that Badahari and I are doing. And for those of you who are not coming, I'll tell you what we're going to do because even if you're not coming, it'll help you. And we still have room because we just heard that it's filled up, but you can still come because you can just get a hotel and then come. There's just no room at the retreat center. So anyway, this is something that I wanted to share because I think it will help devotees. One of the things that I have learned is that by studying all the prayers of the acharyas and studying the meanings that the acharyas have given to the holy name, we find that the way they define the meanings is in terms of prayers and emotion. O Krishna, bring my heart closer to you. O Krishna, please make me qualified to serve you. Like this. So the meanings are full of emotion. So when they're chanting, this is what they're feeling. Oh, Krishna, or humility, I'm far from you. Help me come closer to you. I need you. I want you. I'm light years away from you. Please help me. There's all this emotion. Make my desire one with yours. Make my heart one with yours. Please give me the qualification. Please help me love you. You love me. Please help me love you. There's so much emotion there, isn't it? In those meanings. There are many meanings, and they're all full of emotion. And we all know when we do kirtan, kirtan is full of emotion because that's the nature of music and singing, isn't it? As soon as you sing, it's like your heart, you know, your heart just like a lotus, it just opens. Ah, it just like opens. You just sing a note and it opens, isn't it? So when we're doing kirtan, it's full of emotion. And at 6:20 in this temple room, it doesn't look full of emotion. It looks like, got to get through. Got to get through till 7. Hope I make it by 7. You know? Hope I don't die of boredom before 7. You know? That's what I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm having fun here, but it looks a bit like that. If you compare it to a kirtan, because then at 7:30, everyone's like big smiles jumping around. But at 6:20, it's like, if you were a guest, you'd walk in and be like, who died? That's actually what it looks like. I mean, you know, you have to be American to be so bold and say those things. But it kind of looks like that, right? So what Badahari and I are going to attempt to do is talk about the emotion and the beauty of the holy name, and then do kirtan and churn that emotion in the kirtan, which we naturally do anyway. And then when we have that emotion in the height of the kirtan, we're going to stop and say, chant japa, and keep this mood. So that you can understand that that heightened emotion you experience with Krishna's name in kirtan can be experienced with japa. Not only can be, should be. That is proper chanting. It's not like, I love kirtan, but japa, I don't know about japa. I just don't get it. But kirtan, yes. That's a problem. Because it's the same holy name. It's just you have to learn how to approach it in the right way. So we're going to see if that works. And if you're not coming, you can think about that. And when you're doing kirtan, kind of embody that emotion. And maybe before you chant japa, remember that emotion, what you're feeling. And try to bring that into the holy name. And that will make Prabhupada happy. And that's what Lord Chaitanya came to give. I mean, what was Lord Chaitanya doing when he was chanting? You see these pictures. Lord Chaitanya is always crying. And he's even have japa beads and he's crying. Right? Yugayitam nime shena chakshusha pravishayitam. We should be crying also. And you say, Prabhu, but I'm not that advanced that I can cry. No, what I mean is we should be crying that we're not crying. That I'm chanting and I'm thinking, when's the japa session going to be over? I should be crying because I'm thinking that way. That's what we, at least cry. Bhakti is about emotion. And I want to share this thought. Now, this is so interesting, but it's so simple. Patrapushpam palam toyam. We all know that verse. If you offer me with love, anything you offer with love, I'll accept it. And we have this beautiful talk that has been on social media for many years where Prabhupada's talking about how when you offer to Krishna, you beg Krishna to please accept my offering. I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing that I have is worth anything. Even the body is not worth anything. What can I give you? But I beg you, please accept. So, and Prabhupada's crying. It's like so beautiful to hear it. You can read that verse, Patra Pushpam Palam Tayam. That verse comes alive when you hear Prabhupada saying, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer you. What can I give you? But I beg you, please accept. And Prabhupada is crying. He said, "Ben, this is bhakti." And you hear it. It's like, you get it. That is what bhakti. That is bhakti. That is the essence. Krishna, you please accept, right? Bhakti, devotion. That's it. Why don't we chant that our japa like that? Krishna, please accept this mantra. Prabhupada said, One of the meanings of the mantra is, Krishna, please accept me. Krishna, accept this mantra, full of faults. I have no devotion, but please accept. I'm bringing you this mantra. This is all I can give. All I can give you is whatever devotion I have, which isn't much. All I can give you is my sincerity. All I can give you is my focus, my presence to the holy name. That's all. Would you please accept? It's like, of course, that's how we should chant, because all of bhakti is based on offering to Krishna something which we have, which is our heart. And so when we make an offering for Krishna, it looks like we're offering puris and sabji. We're not offering puris and sabji. We're putting our bhakti on the puris and sabji. We're offering our bhakti, and the puris and sabji are just carrying the bhakti to Krishna. That's what it is. So the holy name, we're putting our sincerity on the holy name, and then we're carrying that to Krishna. And this is such an important point, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, unless we have that mood when we're chanting, we're not actually properly chanting. Which would explain why we would be bored, you know. So I have a little, I don't recommend doing this, but sometimes, have you ever had an experience when you're chanting that sometimes it kind of feels like you could be chanting anything? Like Coca-Cola. You know, sometimes we say that, you know. Well, they say, what's in this Maha Mantra? You're just hypnotizing yourself. You're just believing it, and because you believe it, it works. And we go, okay, chant Coca-Cola for a couple hours, see how that works for you. You know, Coca-Cola, 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 Coca-Cola. Have you ever chanted japa and it felt kind of like you were chanting Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Coke? Yes or yes? So that's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta means. He said, when we're chanting with offense, then Krishna is absent in the name. So although we're chanting a shadow of the name, and that's why we have that experience. It's just like chanting Coca-Cola. Krishna's not present in Coca-Cola. He cannot be present in the holy name if it's not chanted properly, and therefore the emotion's gone. That beautiful sound, Krishna, no longer sounds attractive because it's not Krishna anymore. It's a shadow of Krishna. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? You mean, Prabhu, I've been chanting a shadow mantra for the last 50 years? I'm not saying you have, but do your prognosis. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm not inspired. That's the prognosis, yeah. But if you're inspired, no, you are chanting. If you wake up and think, yes, I want to chant. I love this. This name is beautiful. Yes, then you're chanting the real name. That's a symptom of the real name. So that's our goal at the retreat. We want to try to bring that emotion into the japa and realize this beautiful sound, Krishna. It's so amazing. And that will make Prabhupada happy. That'll make Bhaktivinoda Thakur happy. And it'll make us happy also. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go premanandi, hari hari. And that's what Lord Chaitanya was trying to give to Venkatabhata. And Lord Chaitanya was a bit frustrated with him because Venkatabhata was like, nah, I like Narayan. That's okay. But now in Kali Yuga, you can get this prema in the mood of the gopis. Hare Krishna. So does anyone have any comments or questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to ask, is it always Nama Parad when we don't feel inspired to chant? Is that the only reason?
Is it the only? No, it could be Vaishnava Parad.
Like is it always an offense that's blocking?
Here's the problem. If you offend a Vaishnava, it's also Nama Parad. So you get two for the price of one. So, I can't say that's the only thing. Vaishnava aparad can be a big thing that can do serious damage. It could be that our service, our mood, is motivated by pride, by other impure motivations, and that there's not going to be a taste when we're just trying to. We have our own agendas in service. So the taste comes from purity. The taste comes from humility. Like, we are like so we're so resistant to be humble, isn't it? Like your best friend, you know, you outdid your best friend 10 times, but everybody glorifies him. That's like, I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving ISKCON. You know? We're so resistant, but humility is where you get the taste. You know, no agenda, no motive. I want to do this service. You know, I do this service. Other people will think, oh, Mahatma Prabhu, he's amazing. You know, if we have that motive in doing service, we kind of dampen the ability to appreciate the nectar of Krishna consciousness because the motive is impure. So that's another, you know, it's another reason. Yeah.
I was going to ask if maybe ignorance of just like to your point in the class that not fully understanding the sweetness of the holy name is a reason.
lack of knowledge can always be a reason, but that's easily cured by knowledge. But offenses are more difficult to cure. We're going to do something today. If you're not coming to the workshop today, I'll tell you one of the things we're going to do. And you can also try this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that, this is so interesting. He said, we should, if we've offended the holy name, which we all have, just by neglecting it, we've offended it. By chanting those schnick schnick rom roms at 10 o'clock at night, thinking about going to sleep. You know, those are offensive rounds. So he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, to make up for offenses, as Prabhupada said, you should chant. Just keep chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, chant in remorse for having committed the offense. Because you could just continue chanting, making an offense. Right? You can continue. But chant in remorse. Krishna, I have offended your name so many times. Please forgive me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So another thing Prabhupada said, so we make offenses and we have to clean up those offenses. I don't know if you know this, but when we started paying obeisances in the temple in the morning to all the devotees, it was done because prior to that, the sannyasis, anytime you'd see a sannyasi, you would pay obeisances. And the sannyasis felt awkward because it was all god brothers. It wasn't like disciples. So every time we'd see a sannyasi go anywhere, we'd pay obeisances. And the sannyasis, you know, said, I didn't even want to go out of my room because as soon as I go out, everyone's going to pay obeisances. So they told that, they gave that dilemma to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so we'll just offer obeisances in the morning and that'll be good for the whole day. So you don't have to offer obeisances to sannyasis. Aren't you happy now when you see them? No, you can if you like. But if you don't offer obeisances to sannyasis, you have to fast the whole day, which is the only reason I pay them obeisances, because I don't want to fast. No. Where's a little bit like that, yeah. So Prabhupada said, just do it in the morning. So we, after the morning program, bancha kalpatrubhishtha. But Prabhupada said, after you say that, you should say, and this is so important, and I don't know why this is not public information in ISKCON. You should say, just to yourself, my dear Vaishnava devotees, please forgive me for any offenses I may have committed. So you just clear that out, because we always want to clear out offenses. I don't know if I've committed an offense to you. I showed up in the temple like, oh my God, here's Mahatma Prabhu. What's he doing? He should be in Florida. Why is he spending all this money? I offended you just by being here. I don't know, right? Why do you have to chant that melody this morning? You know, that's, you know. Isn't it? Like, we just offend people by existing. Yes? And we actually do offend people as well, not just only but by doing things that are offensive. And we don't always know it, and of course we try to avoid it. So Prabhupada's saying, at least in the morning, ask the Vaishnavas, please forgive me for my offenses. And so if we make offenses, it has an effect. It has a negative effect on us. So, but the Vaishnavas are merciful. The gurus are merciful. We ask for forgiveness. They will forgive us. And we can ask the holy name in the same way for forgiveness. So we do offend the holy name. We do offend devotees. Please, every morning, please forgive us. The holy name, please forgive me for committing offenses. Chant with remorse. Clear it out. And yes, you want to say? You want to say?
Hare Krishna. Is it possible for the new candidate, new devotee, or son of a devotee, to chant the pseudonym, pure name, even just once? Or does he have to wait to become an Uttamadhikari or guru like you? You know, after 50 years or something.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We had a sadhu sangha a few weeks ago, and I was having a realization at the sadhu sangha. Trinadapi sunichena tororagasahishuna. You know that verse. Amanina, manadena. Amanina, manadena. I don't want respect for myself. I want to give respect to everyone else. I was having this realization, Kripa Moya. You're going to love this. Maybe you've thought like this. Remember all of us when we first became devotees and we thought everyone is a pure devotee? That's a manina manadena. Think about your japa, your chanting when you're a new devotee. It's probably 100 times better than it is now. Because a manina manadena. Because when we joined, we thought everyone here is a pure devotee. Until about a month or two later, we saw it's not exactly like that. And the amanina, manadena kind of slipped away because we started, isn't it? Yeah. But isn't that interesting? I mean, if you think when you're a new devotee, like, you have so much respect for the Vaishnavas, you actually by default are in this very high state of humility. Because, you know, you're a new devotee. Nobody even knows who you are. Your only service is to clean the toilet. There's like nothing to be proud of until you become the supervisor of the new bhakta who cleans the toilet. And then, you know, pride hits and then your chanting goes down the toilet. And what's also funny, because this is Ajamil's, you know, Ajamil chanted Namabhas. How did he chant Namabhas? He just said, oh, Narayana, Narayana. And he wasn't even trying to chant. But he chanted Namabhas because he wasn't trying to chant. And he didn't know what the 10 offenses are. So you know that joke? This Christian priest comes to the miners in the middle of nowhere and he tells them about Jesus. And they said, who's Jesus? They never heard about Jesus because they're living in the middle of nowhere. He said, you don't know who Jesus is? He said, no, who is he? He's the Son of God. If you haven't heard of Jesus, you go to hell. And then one of the miners says, well, but what if we had never heard of him because you didn't tell us? He said, well, if you hadn't heard of him, you wouldn't have gone to hell. He said, well, now you told us about him. And now if we don't accept him, we're going to go to hell. So why did you come here? Like, ruin everything. So it's similar. Like, you don't know what the offenses are. It's Namabhas. You just, hey, Hare Krishna, get a haircut. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's Namabhas. Until you come to the temple and go, here are the 10 offenses, and now you can make all 10, and it's Namaparad. But you have to avoid the 10 offenses to get Shuddhanam. So you can get Namabhas without knowing the offenses. When you come to the temple, you learn the offenses. Now you can make them, but you can avoid them because you know what they are, and if you try to avoid them, then it's Namabhas, or it starts to become Shuddhanam. So, but the textbook answer to your question is 16 rounds a day for your whole life, and maybe one day that happy day will come and you'll chant Shuddhanam. Or, by Krishna's mercy, it can happen. You know, you do some mercy you get, you know. You distribute, you know, 100, you distribute Bhagavatam to the Queen of England, the King of England, or there's no queen anymore. Somebody up there, you know, get the king to come to the opening of Mayapur, some, you know, mercy, and then the rest of your life is just Hare Krishna, you can't stop. That's also there, you know. So, you know, who am I to say nobody can get a pure name? But we can only say the standard process, you know. Now, here's the nice thing. Bhaktisiddhanta said, it's not offensive to chant. Even if you make an offense, it's not offensive if you're trying not to make it. It's offensive if you're not trying to make it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, inattentive chanting is apathetic. That means I'm not trying. So if I'm trying, you know, you try to control your mind, but it's difficult, but at least you're trying, it's not considered offensive. So because you're trying. It's when you're not trying, then it's offensive. And sometimes Krishna's looking at you, and Krishna says, today's the day. I'm going to take all the nectar out of the holy name because I want to watch and see what you're going to do. I want to see if you're just going to go, okay, I'm not chanting today. There's no nectar. Or you're going to continue. So he could do that also. And then he takes the nectar and you still persist. You try your best. You put your bhakti into it. And then at 6:45, nectar starts falling from the universe. It's like Krishna says, yes, you passed the test. I'm going to give you nectar. It can happen that way, right? It happens. We all have that experience, isn't it? It's like one day you're chanting and you like all you can do is hear the name and taste it, and people are trying to talk to you, and you know, you're on your 86th round and you can't stop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Your wife's dying. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. She's in the hospital. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know, those days can come, you know. And then you go back and you think, what did I do to get that? And you can kind of look back and say, oh, yesterday I went on Harinam for 18 hours. It must have been some connection there, you know. So who's to say who gets the nectar? But the standard process, avoid, you know, 16 rounds, avoid the offenses. And 16 rounds, that's like, you know, when Prabhupada gave us 16 rounds, he was like laughing at us. 16 rounds, loser. That's all you can do. Okay, we'll deal with it, loser. You know, we'll make up for it. I'm your guru. I'll talk to Krishna about it. You know, we think, 16, it's so much. I can hardly do it. How do you find time? And Prabhupada's like, oh my God, like 16 is nothing. Isn't it? So it's good to think like that. That it's nothing. Otherwise, we think it's like it's so much, you know, I got to do so many things. I got so many WhatsApp messages, no time for 16 rounds. And Prabhupada's like, in India, you're like, amongst Vaishnavas, you know, like the rock bottom's like 25. That's like Special Olympics is 25, you know. And we're like, 16 is so much. Just, you know. So it's good to put things in perspective. And that, you know, and Prabhupada goes to Krishna and goes, these, like, it's Kali Yuga, these hippies, you know, it's like, it's going to be tough. Can we get them in the back door at 16? And Krishna's like, let me think about it. Then Prabhupada goes to Nityananda. Nityananda, can you do it? Okay, we'll do it. And Prabhupada says, okay, 16 no less. So, you know, if Prabhupada says, here's the mercy with 16, okay. Then we'll follow that process. That's the standard process. It could come other ways, you know. Who knows how it can come? But that's the standard. So we follow that. At least. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.